in this month of Ramadan and beyond, insha'Allah. As Helion announced, by our admin, that the topic of our discussion this morning is Surah Al-Hijrat. Now, you can listen to the Surah first, maybe the first verse of the Surah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. Actually, I need to brush up with the class. It's about the book of Tafsir, which I explore. The book is compiled by one of our noble scholars. It's late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him his mercy. Al-Sheikh Al-Allama عبد الرحمن بن ناصر الساعدي. الله سبحانه وتعالى writing his grace. We are to explore his book of tafsir named تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان. We are reciting from the book and follow it with explanation and commentaries. Surah Al-Hijrat was revealed and sent down in Medina, which means it's a Medinite surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the surah when it is 9 years of Hijrah. Perhaps before Surah Al-Tahrim was revealed and after Surah Al-Mujadala was revealed. The surah itself contains 80 verses. As an introduction as well, the surah is named Surah Al-Hijrat, referring to the bedrooms of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the bedrooms of his wife. Messenger, when he was about to die, he left behind 9 wives. Those 9 wives, this surah is talking about the place of their sleep, that is their bedrooms. This could be interpreted as this very surah is discussing about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the mu'minun, the Sahaba, to be relating with the matrimonial home of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this very surah really talking about the matrimonial home of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his family. So the five verses are just read to our hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tuqaddimu bayna yadayi Allahi wa rasulih. Never make any attempt, never make any move in front of Allah and His Messenger. Never do anything, never assert any opinion before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Then fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Verily, Allah is all hearing. Only Allah, only God. We listen to what Al-Imam Al-Sa'diyu offer us. Then after that, we run our commentaries on it. Al-Imam says, for those who have the book then, this, as a preamble from him, this contains the moral etiquette which Muslims have been expected to relate with regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and regarding the right of his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in glorifying the messenger, in declaring him honor, in exalting him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his servants and mu'minun with what? The iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and iman in his messenger could be given as exploration in terms as intifala wa amirillah, in terms of obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa shnabi nawahihi and moving away forbidden or go away from all his positions. When يَكُونَ مَنْشِينَ خَلِفَ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ, being expected from the Muslims to be walking behind the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُتَّبِعِينَ لِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and to be following, clinging to the sunnah of his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع أمورهم, in all their affairs. وَأَلَّا يَتَقَدَّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, you should not do anything by proceeding or preceding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger say. فَلَا يَقُولُ حَتَّى يَقُولُ, you should not assert any opinion in Islam but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger assert theirs. This is the address of the success of the servant and the achievement of the servant. And once this very one lags behind the life of someone, so everlasting success, everlasting joy shall be lost as well. So in this very issue as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very strong warning against saying anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Because whenever the sunnah of messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is made clear to everybody, then following becomes compulsory and giving it priority on all the sin of anybody, no matter the person is, or no matter how the person is, whoever the person is in knowledge, whoever the person is in scholarship, whoever the person is in intelligence and wisdom. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares an opinion, and his messenger Islam declares an opinion, what is the expectation is for us to follow it. يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in generality. It commands of what? I like commands of piety. I like commands of fearing him. A tabi'i called Talq ibn Habib. Talq ibn Habib radiyallahu anhu. He defined what piety he is saying. أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله تخشى عقاب الله. الله أكبر. What great this definition is to taqwa. What magnificent is to taqwa. What wisely is to taqwa. What rich is in defining what taqwa is. Talq ibn Habib, he said, أن تعمل بطاعة الله. You as a Muslim, if you want to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are looking for the clear definition of what piety really is. It's for you to apply or to do whatever you want to do. You work by the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala nuri min Allah, upon the light from Allah. You obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the light from Allah. Taruju sawab Allah. Then you hope in Allah's reward. What does it mean? The word nuri min Allah is the sentence given as definition by Talq ibn Habib radiyallahu anhu. It means you must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by searching for knowledge. Nuri min Allah, light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the knowledge. If you are not well enlightened, you are not well orientated regarding Islam, You are in darkness. You are not in light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you want to say for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of what He needs from you, to the best of His which, if you are not well enlightened. That is the essence why we need to seek for knowledge in Islam. Why we need to be sitting in the front of the scholars of the truth, so that we can understand what really Islam is. Once you are endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with bounty knowledge or bountiful knowledge of Islam, then you are upon the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tarudu thawab Allah. By the time you be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true knowledge, true knowing of the Quran, both the citation and the meaning, and both interpretation and exegesis, and you also know or you understand the reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have fulfilled some verses in Quran, tarudu thawab Allah. Then you will hold in Allah's reward. وَأَنْ تَتُرُكَ مَعَسِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ Then you shun earth, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this also should be done upon the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way to understand what really sin is until when you are blessed with blessed knowledge, until when you are guided by the knowledge of Kitabu and Sunnah. It is then you can understand how dangerous, how disastrous, how harmful sin is to your spirituality, to your humanity, to your life in eternity. Naam, تَخْشَى يَقَوْضَ اللَّهِ By the time you open the leaves of Quran, you open the hadith of Messenger والسلام, that speak reality about how dangerous, how the dangerousness of sin. Both the cabbage ones among them, those that are considered by the minor among this by the scholars, you understand all, and you struggle with your soul to ensure that you forbid yourself, you avoid yourself from falling or involving in those things, in those crimes, in those errors. تَخْشَى يَقَوْضَ اللَّهِ That means that you are fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ أو إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is سَمِيعٌ because He hears all sounds, all voices, all sounds, all that assist the talk, all that live the speak, be it ants, human beings, jinn, malaika, all what that assist, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all their sounds, hears all their voices, fi jamil awqat, in all the times. Fi khafi al-mawadi'i wal-jihad, even in secret places, in hidden places, if you go ahead and hide yourself inside a hole, very deep one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all what you see there, what you say there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. Alim, the zawahir wal bawatin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable. He's well acquainted with everything, be it open one or hidden one. Wal sawadiq wal awahik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has detailed knowledge about what has happened for many centuries back, and what shall happen in many centuries to come. وَالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْمُسَحِيلَاتِ وَالْجَائِزَاتِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all what is compulsory, or what are compulsory, or what are not good, or what are even necessary, either in Israel religion, or in our matters or affairs of our life. وَفِي ذِكْرِ الْإِسْمَيْنِ الْكَرِمَيْنِ بعد النهي عن التقدم بين يدي الله ورسوله والامر بالتقوى حث على امتثال تلك الاوامر الحسنه والاداب المستحسنه وترهيب عن ضده. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention those two great names, As-Sami' and Al-Alim, both of them are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are among the most beautifulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning them, after he has warned from proceeding on anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger and fearing him. This song shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an encouragement on obeying all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the moral ethics which the Muslims have been expected to relate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with and to relate with his messenger with. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us, give us a very serious warning against all this. This is simple recitation from the exegesis of al-Shaykh al-Allama al-Sa'adiyyu regarding the first verse of the Surah. Then I say, this very verse gives a kind of indication. The indication is that he's speaking about how we can actualize Kalma Shahadatayn. Kalma Shahadatayn, the word of the two testimonies. The word of the two testimonies. That is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. These are the two words of testimonies. They are like wings of bird. Another bird, if it lacks a wing, is incapable to fly up. But by the time the two wings are very heavy with it, is able to fly up to any extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes it to fly up in the space, in the sky. So also, our testimonies we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is, he is the only deity, he says to be worshipped. And as well, our testimony we give to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that is, he is the only messenger of Allah and the final prophet which we are commanded, or who we are commanded to obey his instruction, to obey his sharia, to follow his commandment. This means any moment a Muslim is rejecting anything said in Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any confirmed hadith to be authentic, said by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, such a person is not actualizing the word as shahada. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that As-Sami'u and Alim are one of the main beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear sisters and brothers in Islam, whatever we do in our life, let's be hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us. Let's be expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judgment on it. We should prepare ourselves, prepare our mind towards the rewarding manner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's be careful, let's be conscious, let's be very considerate in whatever we do towards somebody else, because nothing is forgiven, nothing is overlooked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not being put down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned some honorable angels to keep account on all our deeds, to keep account on all our utterances. So we need to understand that. Another thing I also make comment on is that this very moral etiquette which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded we Muslims to use towards him and towards his prophet, same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clearly in this very verse that whoever is a student or a pupil towards the scholar, towards an ali, towards the sheikh, never be too forward. Don't be a Mr. Knows All. Never be too forward. Never be proceeding before your teacher, before your sheikh, before your staff, before your alim. Let him speak. Anything that happens to religion, hear his own opinion on it before you devil yourself. Before you devil yourself in what you don't have knowledge about. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a blessed knowledge. and a beneficial one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proceeds.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another way, another more etiquette, which we need to understand in relation to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. And that says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. The way he calls our name in the first verse, same way he calls our name in the second verse, or at the beginning of the second verse. All you who believe, all you that have attained the level of faith in your Islam, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voices above the voice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. ولا تجهروا له بالقول. Never shout at him in utterances. كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط. The way some of you used to shout or used to raise his voice above others among you. أن تحبط أعمالكم, to avoid all your works, all your deeds to be spoiled. To avoid all your deeds to be spoiled. To be invalidated. To be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنتم لا تشعرون. Why you don't even perceive. You don't even aware. You don't even know. And Imam rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَهَذَا أَدَبُ النَّعْبُ رَسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ فِي خِطَابِهِ. This is another moral etiquette which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us, even commands us to do with our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why conversing with him, why speaking with him, why dialogue with him, why communicating with him. أي لا يرفع المخاطب له صوته معه فوق صوته. Which means the speaker with the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام should not raise his voice above the voice of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ولا يجهر له بالقول. He should not raise his voice or shout at him in his utterance. بل يغض الصوت ويخاطبه بأدب ولين وتعظيم وتكريم وإجلال وعظام. Rather, such a person should lower the voice. He should speak with Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام in a good manner, in a lenient way, in a glorified way, in a honorable way, in a regarded way, in the best way of approach. وَلَا يَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ كَأَحْدِهِمْ. Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام should never be considered like one of you. بَلْ يُمَيِّزُونَهُ فِي خِطَابِهِمْ كَمَا تَمَيَّزَ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ فِي وُجُوبِ حَقِّهِ عَلَى الْأُمَّةِ. Rather, Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام should be distinguished, should be made different, should be distinguished in the way we'll be talking with him, the way we also distinguish him from any other person in terms of how his right is compulsory on this ummah. وَوْجُوبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ, and the compulsion of believing in him. وَالْحُبُّ الَّذِي لَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِهِ, and in understanding that our laws for the Messenger of Allah shall not be well considered, shall not be complete until when we have our full iman in him. فَإِنَّ فِي عَدَمِ الْقِيَامِ بِذَلِكَ مَعْذُورًا وَخَشْيَةً أَنْ يَحْبَطَ عَمَلُ الْعَبْدِ وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Indeed, If somebody fails to understand this, if somebody fails to establish this, therein a very strong warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even we have a fear that such a person gives in terms of prayers, in terms of zakat, almsgiving, in terms of any act of obedience, any act of righteousness, to be spoiled and to be invalidated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be outrightly rejected by Him. وَوَلَا يَشْهُرْ And he will never even understand. He will never understand. You can see, my dearest listeners in this very class and outside there, look, there are so many things we Muslims are doing which are making our deeds to be unacceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't even perceive. We don't understand. We are not conscious of our dealings with the right of mercy alayhi salatu wa salam which He has upon us. No, we are coming to that. So then they say that Messenger is no longer alive, he's dead for more than 1 century. So, for more than 10 centuries as well, are you not saying that we should be respecting him, glorifying him, declaring him honorable in terms of conversation, in terms of communication with him? We are coming to our detailed responses on that. كما أن الأدب معه من أسباب حصول الثواب وقبول الأعمال. At the same time, having a good etiquette and mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام is one of the أسباب that can attain you a reward and they can make your deed to be accepted by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى he mentioned two main reasons that made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal the very verse. A narration by Nafi', the son of Umar, he also reported this one from Abi Mulaika. He said, كان الخيران أن يهلك أبو بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما. The best of the two best men of this ummah, the two most favored men of this ummah, that is Abu Bakr and Umar, they were almost destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have his mercy and pleasure for them. They were almost destroyed. They were almost condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? رَفَعَ أَصْوَاتَهُمَا عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Because they raised their voices where they were the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. إِنَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِ رَكْبٌ مِنْ رَكْبُ بَنِي تَمِيمٍ When some passengers came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, the passengers, they are from the family of Tamim. وَأَشَارُ أَحَدُهُمَا بِالْعَقْرَ بْنِ حَارِثٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَخِي بَنِ مُجَاشِعٍ And one of them, it could be Abu Bakr or Umar. One of them, raised and pointed to Al-Aqrab al-Hadis. Al-Aqrab al-Hadis was a man of the passengers that came to the Messenger of Allah. One of Abu Bakr or Umar pointed at him, and that very Aqrab al-Hadis was the direct guardian of, immediate guardian of Banu Mujashir. So one of them was saying that this Aqrab al-Hadis, and the other one was saying that no, another man is Aqrab al-Hadis. So this is how they engaged in dialogue, in argument, in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Umar and Abu Bakr started having a kind of argument, having a kind of debate, and they were shouting at each other in the front of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. Qala Nafi', Nafi' was amongst that one day. He said, La أحفظ اسمه I can quickly recall the name of that very man which or who Abu Bakr and Umar were having argument about. فقال أبو بكر لعمر رضي الله عنهما ما أردت إلا خلافي. Now Bakr directed a message to Umar رضي الله عنهما. He said, You Umar, you never intended anything in your life except you go in contrary to what I say. You always contradict me. قال Umar said in return, as a response, مَا أَرَدْتُ خِلَافَكَ I never intended kicking against you or contradicting you. فَارْتَفَعَتْ أَصْوَاتُهُمَا فِي ذَلِكَ. This is how their voices started raising up. Why they were the messenger at the Salatu wasalam. This is the one reason. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this very verse that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا all you who believe لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Never raise the voices above the voice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second reason of this device, this one reported by Anas bin Malik, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have his mercy and pleasure on him, he said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, iftaqad Thabit ibn Qais radiyallahu anhu. There was a man among the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu named Thabit bin Qais. Messenger missed him one day. He couldn't find him. فقال رجل, a man then said, يا رسول الله, أنا أعلم لك علما. أنا أعلم لك علما. O Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام, I saw you miss Thabit bin Qais. I have a knowledge for you about where he is. فأتاه فوجده في بيته. Then this man came and he met Qais, he met Thabit bin Qais at home. Munkasa Ra'sa, somebody who nodded his head, is lowered down his head, as somebody was confused, as somebody was saddened. فَقَالَ لَهُ, this man told Thabit bin Qais, مَنْشَأَنَكَ, what's the problem? What is the issue? فَقَالَ الشَّخْ, this one responded, شَخْ, I'm in trouble, I'm a problem, I'm doomed. كَانَ يَرْفَعُ صَوْتَهُ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, this man, Thabit bin Qais was referring to himself. He said, this man used to be raising his voice above the voice of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَدْ حَبَطَ عَمَلُهُ, and indeed his deeds are spoiled. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, then our voice, he became one of the people of hellfire. فَأَتَى الرَّجُلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, listening to this response, the man had to come back to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَأَخْبَرَهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and this man told Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, that this is what I learned or understood or heard from Thabit bin Qais, that he raises voice above your voice. And here is the man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was referring to his very verse, which means all his deeds, all his deeds, all his obediences, all his acts of righteousness have been rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus he has become a man of hellfire. فرجع إليه المرة الآخرة ببشارة عظيمة فقال. And this man, after telling Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام the response, this man went back to Thabit another time again by giving him a glad tidings, great glad tidings. And he said, Messenger told him, go and tell Thabit bin Qais, اذهب إليه فقل له إنك لست إنك لست من أهل النار. You, this man, go back to Thabit bin Qais that he has never been among the people of hellfire. He's not among. ولكنك من أهل الجنة. Rather, indeed, you are one of the people of Al Jannah. You are one of the people of Al Jannah. So, in fact, the Sahaba after this very incident, whenever they saw Thabit bin Qais, they normally regarded him and honored him as one of the men of Al-Jannah who was given a certificate of Al-Jannah while still alive. Because why? Thabit bin Qais, the verse or the warning verse was not directed to Thabit bin Qais. Thabit bin Qais was not a man used to be raising his voice above the messenger's voice. Rather, he was created with a very echoed voice, volumed voice, Now when he spoke as if we are having a kind of very big picture. So this very manner of speaking, or his voice, the nature of his voice, sounded like if he is trying to overwhelm the voice of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That was why when this very verse revealed, he was thinking that the verse was directed to him. That was why he considered himself to be of not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the first sabab mentioned, that is the first reason mentioned by the scholars, could be more genuine, could be more authentic among the two verses, among the two regions. That is, what happened, what transpired between Abu Bakr and Umar could be what we can accept to be the main reason he made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive this very verse. Now, in this very verse as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that رفض الصوت بدون حاجة مخل بالأدب. Raising voice unnecessarily without any reason مخل بالأدب. It contradicts moral etiquette. Something is going on between you and somebody else and start shouting. You are not prepared Islamically. You are not well trained. If there's no any necessity, if there's no any alarm calling for that, lower your voice towards a fellow, even the person is not a Muslim. So we also gain this one from the verse that Muslims are not trained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are not advised by Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be raising their voices above others in the gatherings where they are talking without any necessity. وفي أيضا النهي عن رفع طالب صوته على صوت شيخه أو شيخ آخر. We also deduce from this very verse the strong warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against raising a student his voice above the voice of his sheikh or any other sheikh. Whoever is considered to be your sheikh, your direct sheikh that you learn from him, or your sheikh, if your female sheikh is alima, you take knowledge from him, you benefit from him, ensure that you're always lowering your voice in his or her front. So this is the moral etiquette which many students of nowadays are lacking behind. Many students of nowadays don't understand. They will not even allow their students or their sheikh, their satiza, to finish in commenting what they have on a particular issue before they will be claiming that as if they are much knower or they understand the issue more than that, or more than their teachers, or better than their staff, or their sheikh. So this very verse as well is given a serious warning against that very indisciplined character. Another thing could be deduced from the verse, كَرَوْهَةُ رَفْرِ صَوْتِ عِنْدَ قَبْرِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَ مُحْتَرَمًا حَجًّا وَمَيِّتًا. Another thing is also understand from this very verse, which the scholars discussed in their books, is that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam in his lifetime, that his Nabi or the Sahaba that were living with him then, they should not be raising their voices above his voice. Same way, whoever has the opportunity to travel down to Medina and faces the gate of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, we should not be raising our voices there. We should remain calm and silent. Yes, you are given an opportunity to travel down to Medina. And one of the main sunnah which Muslims have been advised to do is that you go to the graveyard of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you say assalamu alaykum to him. Then at the same time, at the right side of the grave, this is where Abu Bakr was buried. You also say assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Bakr. In that of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you say assalamu alaykum ya Rasulullah. You move to the right side of that very grave. This is where Abu Bakr was buried. You say assalamu alaykum ya Abu Bakr. Then you come back to the left side of that very grave of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is where Umar was buried. يقول السيد السمتن السلام عليك يا عمر. Why carrying on all this respect for Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام despite his being dead, despite that he's in grave, respect him. Don't shout there. Be silent. Once you do this, you are also walking along with the teaching and instruction of this very verse. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. The last jumla, the last sentence of the verse said, Muslim can lose all the words he expected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by ignorance, by unawareness, by not being conscious. All the rewards of your Ramadan, the rewards of your Salah, the rewards of your Hajj, the rewards of all the acts of righteousness will be vain. You may lose the rewards all. Why you don't even know? Because you don't understand what Islam says about your character, what Islam says about your attitude towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why we say that there is no way, there is no best form. So that is why we are saying that whatever you do, you want to seek knowledge for it. You don't put it on the, you know, the south. Is it? Na'am. The third verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as I read,
إن الذين ينادونك من
لا استغفر الله
إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم بالتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, those who normally lower their voices, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, those normally bring down their voices, those who lower their voices, why with the Messenger of Allah, عليه الصلاة والسلام, أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم بالتقوى. Those are the ones whose hearts have been tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the piety. Those ones, their hearts have been tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a facility for taqwa. لهم مغفرة. Forgiveness is theirs. وأجر عظيم. And a great reward. And a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this very verse says, verily, those who normally know what their voices, why they are the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they are the ones whose acts have been tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good for taqwa, to be suitable for the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Forgiveness and a great reward are theirs. Al-Iman said, verse 3, فِمَنْ مَدَهَا مَنْ غَضَّ صَوْتَهُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ امْتَحَنَ قُلُوبًا بِالتَّقْوَى أي ابْتَلَاهَا وَاخْتَرَرَهَا فَظَهَرَتْ نَتِيجَةُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنْ صَلَحَتْ قُلُوبُ بِالتَّقْوَى ثم وعدهم المغفرة لذنوبهم المتضمنة لزوال الشر والمكروه وحصول الأجر العظيم الذي لا يعلم وصفه إلا الله تعالى وفي وصول كل محبوب وفي وصول كل محبوب. الإمام said, then Allah سبحانه وتعالى curses the person that lowers his voice where with the Messenger of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. In what way? That is how we are ending this other platform, inshallah. So tomorrow morning,
every Sunday we continue from where we are ending today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.